And we're back, lads, in the pocket across the pond. It was a busy festive period for us, as always, as with everybody. So we've missed a couple of weeks. Good Christmas?
Yep. In general or fantasy football related?
General.
Good, yep.
Fantasy football.
Awful.
Chappell, same two questions.
Well, I mean, I'd already been eliminated from contention, so to be honest, in real life and in general, I've just been living in a sort of haze since then, because what's the point of existing if you're not in the playoffs? So I'm sort of like, you know Harry Potter, I think it's the sixth or maybe the seventh, no, the seventh film, where they sort of go into the nether zone and it's all white, not living, not dead. That's me, and that's going to be me until the season starts next year.
Beautiful stuff. Amazing, amazing. Same, I think we can all agree with that, us on the podcast and the listeners. But yeah, welcome back to In the Pocket Across the Pond, Lewis Brindle, Alex Brindle, Alex Sharples. Because we've missed a couple of weeks, lads, I'm going to jump in and just have a look at the playoff pictures right now, the stuff that means something. That happened over the festive period, bit of a festive period recap. In the AFC, the Chiefs on Christmas Day, Santa Claus delivered them a lovely number one seed. They've got a bye week. After all of us talking about the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs inevitably end up with the number one seed again, Al.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you just said, isn't it, Luke? It was inevitable, you know? I don't know whether the result was convincing again, but, you know, we've seen it all before. We've seen them pull these sort of things out the bag in the end. We've seen Mahomes look like he can barely walk, and then he runs for a huge touchdown. You know, we've seen it all before. I mean, they're a force. I don't really see the Chiefs any differently to have maybe in the previous 2 years going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which must mean they're going to get to the Super Bowl and win it.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I'm holding firm on my Chiefs beat Lions Super Bowl pick. I'll say that. I was wavering a little bit in the middle of the season.
I'm not.
But
I'm wavering. I think the Lions are too hurt.
True. I mean, they are not playing defense by the looks of it.
Mm-hmm. Who is?
The Chargers clinched a playoff spot as well for season for Jim Harbaugh. Clinched the playoffs, Justin Herbert playing out of his mind. Just when you think Justin Herbert, like, he's fallen off it a bit, you know, like with the previous coach and stuff, and then this season where it's like, oh, it looks like they're probably going to run more, he just reverts back to that Justin Herbert that we know. And I mean the pure stat that shows that is that he still again is the fastest to, I can't remember how many yards he got to, but he's beating all, you know, Dan Marino, John Elway, all these guys to a certain amount of yards. He's still the fastest guy to them. So even though we think Justin Herbert hasn't been throwing that many yards, he has still Justin Herbert. And I think he's been pretty nice for fantasy football as well. Like we said, I think maybe in the middle of the season, you know, these guys aren't idiots. Jim Harbaugh isn't an idiot. So he's gone, oh yeah, we have Justin Herbert. Let's lean on this guy. So they're going to be a contender in the playoffs. The Bills, the Ravens, the Texans, the Steelers, they're all in. Sharples, let me know your take on this one. So there's one spot left. Broncos versus Chiefs. Broncos are 9-7. Dolphins against the Jets, they're 8-8. And then the Bengals also 8-8 against the Steelers. Who's getting in there, do you think?
I mean, it's hard to say.
Right now, it's the Broncos, it's theirs to lose, isn't it?
Yeah. But the Chiefs, I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but I'm fairly certain the Chiefs are going to be resting players, and that means someone like Carson Wentz. When did Carson Wentz sign with the Chiefs? Did I just completely miss that one?
I think it was in the off-season.
He's been there all year.
Because it's Carson Wentz, it was a bit of a non.
I saw a picture of him in the uniform. And I just assumed it was Photoshop.
Yeah.
So if it was the Broncos going against a full-strength Chiefs team, you'd probably back them to lose. But depending on the strength of the Chiefs team, you'd imagine the Broncos would win, and so it's got to be them. Of the two on the bubble, I would rather it be the Bengals, because Dolphins just look hopeless again, obviously, with Huntley came in and you're reminded of why Tyreek Hill has been so affected all season. So I would like it to be the Bengals of the two on the bubble, but yeah, Broncos against a weakened Chiefs team, I've got to edge it to the Broncos.
They got to. It's not like, I mean, this Broncos team is a decent team, so I don't really personally see them bottling it, to be honest. I don't. Whereas if this was, I don't know, if, like a lesser team, somebody like a, maybe like a Dolphins, I guess, if they're in that position, I could see them maybe bottling it, potentially.
Still, he might be 35, but he is still a rookie quarterback. Could be some nerves in there for Bo Nix.
Yeah, potentially, but and then obviously the Bengals, everybody wants the Bengals to get in because they've been playing unreal, but too little too late, I say. Too little too late, Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Jumping over to the NFC, while we were away over the festive period, the Eagles clinched the NFC East, obviously. The Packers also clinched a playoff spot with a shutout win against the Saints. That was pretty pathetic. Do you see the thing about Rattler, like having like practicing taking snaps in a freezer or something, in a fridge in the team facility, to prepare for the weather at Lambeau Field?
Maybe he got distracted and just kept eating ice cream or something instead of actually practicing.
What's worse? Spencer Rattler taking snaps in a freezer or Russell Wilson doing high knees on a plane?
High knees on a plane, because, you know, Rattler in the freezer, that at least he's, you know, you're trying some of the, you're desperate, but you're trying. High knees on the plane, he's like, just chill out. We're travelling. Chill out. Commanders also clinched the playoffs after an overtime win against the Falcons. The Falcons are bottling it big time. Jaden Daniels, he's been pulling them through, really. And who'd have thought that two NFC East teams would be in the playoffs at the start of this season? Well, I mean, a lot of people, but maybe not the Commanders as one of them. The Rams also clinched the playoffs. Probably the most low-key of all of these teams, maybe apart from the Texans, but the Rams clinching the playoffs for being the best of the average bunch in the NFC West, really.
Yeah, I was so much higher on the Rams 3 weeks ago. I think they just came off the back of putting 40-odd points on Buffalo, and then the last few games they've been getting wins, but why can't they score anymore?
I don't know. I really don't know. I know what you mean. Like, they just, yeah, can't put up points, which, sure, it's a recipe for winning, but I
think I
don't know.
Cooper Kupp must have sank quite a few fantasy owners' dreams these past few weeks. He's been awful.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, well, because this is the thing, look, we'll get into it, but I mean, you're going for all these teams that have got, kind of clinched the playoffs and stuff like that, and particularly in your fantasy playoffs, you want players in games, in meaningful games. And I think this week is a prime example. Maybe it's an extreme example, but it is a prime example of why you only normally play fantasy until week 17. Because I don't know about you, but when I was doing my player picks for this week, I'm trying to find players in meaningful games, and it was incredibly hard because there's about two meaningful games in the whole of the NFL this weekend.
Yeah, I know, sir. I know.
And it's not, don't get me wrong, sir, it changes every year, and it's not always the case that one conference has literally got all of the playoff spots locked up going into the final week of the regular season. But that's the case this year, and it just shows you why you only really play till week 17. But, I mean, yeah, that's... Yeah, it's why you wanted Cooper Kupp, and that's why, again, Cooper Kupp's been so disappointing over the past couple of weeks.
Agreed. Speaking of the meaningful games, though, I mean, I don't think there's anyone sort of more meaningful than the Lions and the Vikings this week. They're both 14-2 and they're playing for the number one seed, which is great. This is, I mean, if you think, you know, if you're talking what the winning team gets out of this, this is the first playoff game of the season, really. Lions-Vikings is going to be one hell of a game. Both of those teams, I feel like, know how important their home field advantage is, so I don't feel like they're going to be pulling any punches, pulling any players or something. It's a big game, that. And the other meaningful ones in the NFC, obviously the NFC South is not showed up yet. The Buccaneers, who are 9-7, got to beat the Saints, or got to hope that the Falcons don't beat the Panthers. Falcons are 8-8. Surely the Bucs have this sewn up. Surely. Chapels.
I mean, I would assume so. I think you'll see later on in my player picks that they reflect the Bucs winning. yeah, much superior team. They've been rolling, even despite Chris Godwin. Saints are awful. The quarterback's taking snaps in a freezer. Yeah.
yeah, yeah. Bucs to lose. Falcons, valiant effort with Michael Penix at the minute. But, you know, give them an off-season, I guess.
It just seems a really odd time to have swapped out Cousins. Like, wouldn't you just keep him in there to the end of the year? I don't know.
Or swap him out a lot sooner if you're going to do this. yeah.
It just seemed
awkward,
really
time, I know.
Odd time with, what, two, three games left in the season when they weren't completely out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it was totally unprecedented, a rookie coming in that far into a season for a team with that record, i.e. one that's still in playoff contention. We'd never seen it before. And obviously they want to see what they've got with Penix, not that they would dare to do anything at the quarterback position this off-season. And obviously Cousins is out of there at the end of the year. That's pretty much guaranteed now. But I agree, it's like, do something before now, kind of press the kind of eject button on Cousins a month ago or so, if you knew where this was going.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. But next year, we'll see. Moving on to some of the best performances, though. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm really sorry. We're getting into the categories over the festive period. Who is our impressive... Let's go impressive victories. You know what I mean?
Impressive team
over the sort of the fantasy championship, fantasy playoff weeks. Ow.
It's obviously the Bengals, isn't it? With how they've been playing on offense, with how the fantasy players have been scoring, with the fact that Burrow should probably be their league MVP. Bengals.
Sharples.
I went for the Vikings. I was basing it mainly on the win against the Packers, but you know, they beat a decent team in the Seahawks the week before, and it's sort of two big games in crunch time. So they've risen quite a bit in my estimation since those last two wins. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sharples. I also said the Vikings, just because it's sort of bloody... I'm like a bloody cat in the middle of the night. I'm in and out on the Vikings, you know, all the time. But they've racked up too many wins against too many good teams to sort of write off, really. They're obviously well-coached. Sam Darnold is playing nice football. So, yeah, Vikings, really, they're looking pretty tasty.
Sorry, Lou, just while we're on them, I wanted to raise it, because I think for most of the year, I think particularly me and you, Al, had a conversation about it a few weeks ago. We've sort of had the Packers high, you know, we've sort of been quite low on the Vikings. We've said the Packers are the sort of the second best team there. But Packers have lost five games this year, two of them against Lions, the other two against the Vikings. Do they need to be a bit worried in the playoffs? Are the Vikings a bit more legit than we've given them credit for? Or is it a mirage?
I think, yeah, you got to be worried about the teams that are beating you every time you play them.
yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. The Packers are just, they're a good team, but maybe they're a year out or something. I don't know. Because in my mind, at the start of this season, I could have well imagined the Packers having the season that the Vikings have had. Mm. You know what I mean? Whereas it's, you know, turned on its head. And the Packers, obviously, they're in there. They've got all the chance. But, yeah, I'm not sure. It's never a great sign when you're losing to the teams that you know you're going to have to beat to progress in the playoffs.
I still think I'd rather play the Vikings in the playoffs, though, than the Packers. I don't know. Maybe that's just last year, because they upset the Cowboys and looked good last year. But I don't know.
Yeah, there's a sense that the Packers have kind of, they've been there This team, obviously, not necessarily this quarterback totally, but this team and this coach is really established in terms of a playoff team in the NFC, and you've still got that feeling of, but it's Sam Darnold.
No, no, that's it. That's the niggling little thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the not buying it team over this festive period, Val?
It was a really easy one. So I guess I'll just pick that. I guess I'll tell the Texans, because obviously they're in the playoffs and no one's really buying that they're going to do anything. Yeah. So,
yeah. Chapels.
Yeah, it's a bit hard over 2 weeks because it tends to be the teams that have won one have lost one as well. Mind you, I'm going to go the Dolphins because they apparently have won two on the bounce, but just feels horrible watching them. So, yeah, I'd probably say Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah. Texans for me, yeah. I just, you know, you've got the injury factors now as well. I mean, say what you want about how they were playing before they had the injuries, but now they've got those injuries as well. And, I mean, who's the worst team in the league at the minute, Al?
Patriots. Yeah, Patriots. Currently holders of the number one pick, am I right?
I think so, yeah. Either them or the Giants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sherples?
I went for the Giants because they're terrible, and also they can't even lose properly because they managed to beat the Colts.
In an insane game as well. I was just going to say, you know, like, shout out to the Giants. Shout out to Drew Locke.
Drew Locke unleashed.
Drew Locke, 309 for 4 and a rushing touchdown, 45-33 in a game that they might as well have lost.
This is why we needed two terrible quarterbacks ahead of him. He's too good.
Yeah. I also went with the Patriots, though. Patriots are... I mean, shown signs of life this year, but they just ended up just irrelevant and crap, really. Some of the best performances, though, I've lumped these together. What I've done is I've looked at total fantasy points over week 16 and 17, which, I mean, you know, these guys, if you had them, surely won you your fantasy championships. I the names that I'm going to go over here, I'm sure will be in a lot of people's teams who won the championships. Congratulations if you did. Jaden Daniels, over the 2 weeks, 485 passing yards, 8 passing touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 208 rushing yards in those 2 games as well. Almost 70 fantasy points over 2 games for Jaden Daniels. I know in our league, Alex, our brother, won finally. Yeah, he finally won after the 7th season. All right, and he's been in it the whole time, not won. He won, and Jaden Daniels is one of the main reasons for that. He's playing out of his mind over the past couple of weeks. Also, Jonathan Taylor. My God, Jonathan Taylor. These stats don't really seem real over 2 weeks, right? But these are right, these are correct. 343 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Over your fantasy playoffs, which I don't know if you got there with Jonathan Taylor, but you know, if you did have him in the playoffs, well done. He was over 67 fantasy points. You know what? I mean... There's a couple of Bengals here as well. A couple of Bengals. Not the name that you're thinking I'm going to say, though. T. Higgins. 19 receptions. I put 89 yards. That's definitely not 89. 19 receptions. I think it was 189 receiving yards and 4 receiving touchdowns. Higgins came through. Absolutely came through. He's earning that contract somewhere. Maybe not in Cincinnati. And then also, obviously, Joe Burrow. Over 2 games, 664 passing yards, 6 passing touchdowns. Crazy. 44 rushing yards. Everyone's saying MVP of the league. But, again...
Joe Burrow?
The odds have drastically gone up for Joe Burrow's MVP. But, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, it is too little too late, but...
I mean, if you look at the stats, he should be.
Yeah, if you look at the stats, because obviously he's leading leading quarterbacks in sort of all meaningful categories and stuff. But
yeah,
maybe you could argue if they weren't as crap to start the season, he didn't have to turn on the gas this much going down the stretch, really. But he's playing out of his mind. A guy who's also playing out of his mind, who has oddly similar. Similar stat line over the 2 weeks. Baker Mayfield, 662 passing yards, 7 passing touchdowns, an interception, and also 44 rushing yards. Baker Mayfield coming through, I saw last week, 5 touchdowns and only 5 incompletions. Yeah, good stuff. Really good stuff, Baker Mayfield. Justin Jefferson. I mean, Justin Jefferson's great the whole year, but he always seems to come alive, especially in the fantasy playoffs as well. 8 receptions, 236 receiving yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs as well, 226 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 8 catches for 91 yards as well over the 2 weeks. Brian Thomas Jr., 16 receptions, 223 receiving yards, 2 receiving touchdowns, and 18 rushing yards in there as well. Tell me if this is within the context of who he plays for, right? Tell me if this is a bit overboard, because I thought it was. I saw a really, really, really early mock draft. I think it's from NFL.com. It was put in our group chat for our fantasy league, and Brian Thomas Jr. was going pick 7 overall.
That's high.
Bit high, rich high, for me.
Very well rich when you're totally unconvinced by the quarterback player that he's been getting.
Yeah.
Whether Lawrence plays or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, was he higher? I don't know if it went into this deep, but was he higher than Malik Nabers, for example?
No.
Can't have him.
No.
Okay. I mean, Nabers is, yeah. I was thinking about this when Neighbours went off the other week, and like, it's, you heard about Odunze and Neighbours and Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of together. Harrison Jr. was really the consensus best receiver, maybe even one of, if not the best skill position player in the whole draft. And as the draft got closer, those three wide receivers in particular kind of got squashed together a little bit more. You even had a lot of people being like, oh, well, actually, Neighbours is far better. And I mean, you're seeing it now. It's not even a contest by the seams of it. Neighbours is unbelievable. And the second best receiver looks like Brian Thomas Jr. And they were both on that LSU team. It's crazy. That could be in future years when you look back and realise that Chase and Jefferson were on the same team as each other at LSU.
I did misread. Misread, because I've got it right here. This is NFL Fantasy Football, way too early 2025 Fantasy Mock Draft. I misread. Number 6 I thought was Neighbours, it's Nakua. Neighbours isn't on there. They've got the top 12 picks.
Right.
So that sums up the NFL Fantasy app for
so
me.
You've got, I mean, I'll run through it really, really, really quickly. 1, Chase, 2, Jefferson, 3, Bijan Robinson, 4, CD Lamb, 5, Saquon Barkley, 6, Nakua, 7, Thomas Jr., 8, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 9, James Cook, 10, Breece Hall, 11, Gibbs, 12, Nico Collins.
I mean, regardless of
that's absurd.
Yeah,
that's
absurd. Regardless of how good you think he's going to be, having him over St. Brown just feels absolutely ludicrous straight away.
I think having James Cook in the top 10 is a way bigger gamble than putting Malik Nabers in there. I think Barkley should probably be higher than, what was it, 4?
Yeah.
I assume they think Christian McCaffrey's going to retire. that's daft. Yeah. That's stupid.
Yeah, yeah. And Mahomes isn't even number 1. What the hell?
Well, I mean, obviously as well, Shedeur Sanders is about to come in the league as well and go 1 overall. In fantasy, so yeah, because
he's going to be the best, the goat. We'll talk about it when draft season comes around. But what do you do in fantasy with someone like Travis Hunter if you don't want to draft a guy who's going to potentially get injured playing on the defensive side of the ball.
If they start giving out points for interceptions and stuff as a wide receiver, then, you know, then we'll talk. But yeah, if he's getting nothing for it, then no.
I mean, he is he's genuinely a two-way player in terms of he's great both ways. I do think he's a better wide receiver than cornerback, though. So if he's forced to choose one or the other in the NFL, it will be wide receiver because he is one of the best wide receivers in college football, whereas he's probably in the top, you know, 20, 25 cornerbacks in college football, which is still unbelievable. But, you know, he's a better wide receiver than cornerback.
And also, yeah, sure. I mean, following the money, you know, wide receiver contracts are just bigger than cornerback, so he'd be daft not to.
Exactly.
Yeah, but just rounding out the list of the best performances, mentioned him just then, Bijan Robinson, 184 rushing yards, 4 rushing touchdowns, 5 receptions, 17 yards. He's been nice as well as the season's gone on. And then just a little look at some milestones as well. A little milestone checkup. Mike Evans needs 85 receiving yards to clinch 1,000 yards for a record. 11th season, am I right?
Yeah.
Tying the record is that. Unfortunately, Saquon Barkley isn't going to be so lucky. He's going to sit out week 18, ending his season on 2,005 rushing yards, 100 yards away from equaling the record. Yeah, smarter move. That is the smarter move. And also, like, he's had the games that Eric Dickerson had to get it.
But he's not had the carries that Dickerson had.
True.
So this is the argument. You go off games, yeah, and you can make the argument that, oh, well, Saquon was going to get an extra game and all this stuff. However, he's had far less carries than Dickerson. He might have equaled the carries that Dickerson did if he played this week because he's got a better yards per carry. So, you know, what are you counting? Are you counting more games if he actually had less carries?
I mean, I think all Eagles fans should consider this a blessing because there is absolutely nothing to stop Saquon Barkley's legs exploding if he plays any given game. Yeah. So they should be thankful. I think he's been unbelievable this year, but I think we've all forgotten very quickly just how injury prone he's been every year for the past, 5 years. This is a blessing. This is an absolute blessing for them.
I agree, because at the end of the day, like, yeah, sure, it's great for the player, it's great for the guy, but an Eagles fan isn't going to sit there going, ha ha, our player has the most rushing yards in a season. It's like, no, they're going to say, yeah, we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a smart thing to do, and if he wanted the record, he should have played better. Lamar Jackson has surpassed Michael Vick's all-time quarterback rushing yards record, which is mental considering how many years left Lamar Jackson has to play as well. Lamar Jackson's probably going to absolutely set that record, so it is untouchable. But yeah, that's mental. And then Brock Bowers broke the rookie tight end yards record. He also could this week break the single season tight end receptions record, like, outright, not just rookies.
Did he not beat that just rookie receiving in general receptions record that Nakua set last year?
Yeah. So mental player, really mental player. Hopefully he gets a decent quarterback. But Al, we like to be accountable. Just for week 16, though, week 17, various things occurred, personal matters. We didn't get around to doing our projection beaters. So it's just the
Christmas.
One. It was Christmas.
No one died. It was just Christmas.
It was just Christmas. By personal things, I meant I was doing nothing because it was Christmas.
Yeah.
But week 16, accountability, Al.
Yeah. Well, Lou, Stafford kind of busted for you.
Yeah.
It was a miss of 6 points. Jonathan Taylor, huge hit though, as you've already mentioned.
Oh,
Sutton
yes.
Hit his projection and Okonkwo with a big, nice hit.
Can I just say, I don't think we implemented it this year. I was thinking about it. I was thinking, because obviously it's, it depends how you sort out the points, you know what I mean, Al, but I was thinking, if we do get a player who ends up number one at their position on the week, you should get an extra 2 points or something. That it should be like a three-pointer. You know what I mean? Right. Instead of getting right. the well, one hit point, you should get well, 3 points.
Maybe we'll start that next year because I don't know whether I'm going to go back for all the weeks and see that.
Yeah,
that's a good shout. I had a hit with Knicks at the quarterback position. Completely whiffed on Travis Etienne. Mike Evans with the 11.9 points was also a miss, which I think is harsh. And the weirdo himself, Mr. Strange, for the Jacksonville Jaguars at my tight end was 2.2. It was a miss. Sharples nearly with a perfect week to almost end the season.
Really? I've forgotten who I picked, to be honest.
Mayfield was a hit, 22. Connor, 26, hit. Keenan Allen, 29, hit. Bellinger 1.5.
Ah, I see. The tight ends. It's always the tight ends.
Actually, I take that back. Bellinger 1.5, nothing, because his projection was only about 5.5. So no misses, almost the full hits. It's unfortunate.
And I'll give you a surrogate hit for Travis Etienne because I'm still laughing at three French hens.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, right. Let's have a look at some news and injuries, but I don't really want to talk about Tank Dell's injury because it's just so sad. And we hinted at the big news before, Kirk Cousins will be playing for somebody else next year.
Who do you think, by the way?
Browns.
Yeah, same.
No, I don't know because they... it will be the Browns because they love taking on horrendous contracts and giving out horrendous contracts. So it depends how much the Falcons are, you know, a swallowing of Kirk Cousins, you know, cash next year, like how much they're taking on, how much is he going to cost another team or something. But Browns is a interesting show, especially considering they've just seen the division rival take on a veteran quarterback and sort of breeze to the playoffs in the Steelers. So, I don't know. But let's look ahead to Week 18, Championship Week, if you're an absolute moron. Week 18 in the National Football League shouldn't be the case. Shouldn't count in fantasy football, but for some reason it does. And we're here to bring you our takes as always, because even if you're a stupid idiot who plays this week, we do care about you and we care about your fantasy team. We do forget about it this week, or is it just free reign in Week 18? You know what I mean? Because so many players are sitting and you don't know necessarily if there's going to be, you know, like a cap in the amount of snaps that they're on and stuff like that. So I don't know whether it should be free reign.
Well, I was thinking this, but I would say that if I welcome the man in, he's come on in, forget about it, man. And I'm just going to say, you're definitely. Putting into your lineup, don't think about it, forget about it. The players in the Detroit Minnesota game, so obviously your Jeffersons, your Mamar St. Brown, your Jameer Gibbses, and your Cincinnati players like your Jamar Chase, your Joe Burrow.
Forget about it.
But apart from that, I think it's free reign, Yellow.
Cool. Well, free reign over the quarterback position. I mean, I'll start us off. My starter should show you why you should never play to Week 18, because I'm suggesting that you start Bryce Young. Projected 14.1. Bryce Young's had multiple touchdown passes in each of the past two games. He's actually thrown a touchdown, at least one passing touchdown, in every game since Week 8. So, bit of consistency there, to be fair. He's had some nice games for fantasy and in real life over the past month. I mean, him and the Panthers have just been sort of making it quite hard for their opponents of late. Like, they might, obviously the record isn't flattering, but they've been playing people pretty tough, to be fair, and they're against the Falcons this week, and that has all the writing on the wall. You know, Falcons have to win, so I'm sure the Panthers are going to slap them. I just I think that's going to happen, really. They're beatable, especially through the air. So I think Young has the potential to have a nice game in this one. Sherples.
I'm going for Baker Mayfield, projected 19.1. Was surprised to get him, Lou, to be fair. You got your submissions in first. I was expecting to see Mayfield's name down there, but he's not. As Al rightly mentioned, he's in one of the few games that matters this week. Him and the Buccaneers have been rolling recently, last few games. 28 points, 22 points, 35 points last week against Carolina. Surely there's no banana skin this week. I'm setting myself up for a fall, but no, there is no way that the Buccaneers aren't going to crush the Saints, and Mayfield is going to score less than 74 touchdowns. So I'm going for Baker Mayfield.
Nice.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield.
Nice. Al?
I'm going to go Geno Smith, projected 15.1 at the Rams. He's already played the Rams once this year and had a pretty nice fantasy game, 22 fantasy points. I feel like, you know, Geno, he could be advertising himself in this game to potential other teams. You know, I think his future's a bit uncertain in Seattle. He's going to want to kind of end the season off on a high. Did we say the Rams have clinched the playoffs?
Yes, they have. They have.
So, you know, they're going to be sitting some people. So, yeah, I'm going Geno to have a nice game.
Nice. Running back position, I'm going with Tyron Tracy, projected 13.6. Awful, awful matchup on paper against Philadelphia. But the Eagles are going to rest a lot of starters in this one. I mean, if they're resting Saquon Barkley, they're going to rest some pretty key pieces on defense as well. And as we saw last week, the Giants aren't going to hold back. They're going to play for the win. I don't think... You know, Brian Daboll's surely out of there next year, so he's not asked about what pick they have or anything like that. They're going to bring it. Tracy's a real focal point of the offense. 20 carries last week. Decent workload through the air. This is just one where it's like, you know, if the Week 18 context completely turns things on its head, like, this is not a start that you would be looking for any other week, but I think Tracy is a decent enough start this week. Al? Sharples, sorry.
Went for Devon Achan, projected 14.1. Seems a low projection, but he was quite bad last week when Huntley came in, so you can see why the projection's down there. But I just think against the Jets, he's going to get plenty of work. You don't know what to expect from the Jets, but I can't see them doing much. I think he should have all the carries. Didn't get much receiving work last week either, but I just think it's going to be a bounce back. They have an outside Dolphins have an outside chance of getting the playoffs, which is sort of what I base my player picks on this week. So based on that, there wasn't too many running backs to choose from. Achan was the best of those bunch, really. And yeah, it was a bad week last week, but I'm hoping it's going to be more like the San Francisco week where he knocked out of the park and got 31 points. Could be made to look a fool, but Achan projected 14.1 surely is a safe pick.
Yeah. Nice. Al?
I'm going Isaac Garendo, projected 13.5 at Arizona. He's been really nice when he's been healthy this year, as most San Francisco running backs often are, and the Arizona rush defense is not one that you should be scared of. So I think, you know, that 13.5 should be a floor for Garendo this week, and he should be one of the safer running back plays.
Nice. Wide receiver, I'm going with Jameson Williams, projected 14.6 in that game that we're talking about, two of the best teams in the league fighting for the number one seed. I've gone for Williams purely because, you know, of all the pass catchers, he has the lowest projection, and I think all the pass catchers are going to smash it in this game. So, you know, he's projected fewer than Jefferson and Addison and St. Brown. But I think he has just as much a chance as those guys of popping off. I mean, he's been on an absolute tear over the past few weeks. I mean, 10 receptions, 220 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns in the past 2 games. So got to keep that rolling in this game, I think. Sharples?
I'm going for Michael Evans, wide receiver for the Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield's tag team partner. Hopefully both going to be nice, juicy hits. And, I mean... Like you said, Louie, and he's, what, 85 yards, was it, for the...
Yeah, he's going to get at least 8.5.
You've got to throw him the ball 200 times. He's going to get at least 8.5. If Baker throws him the ball less than 200 times, that is an insult. Yeah. So hopefully hyper-targeted again. the Saints, what are they? They're a pointless team. There's not much point in them existing. And he's coming off a near 30-point game against the Panthers. Surely another safe pick. 15.6 feels very low for a man of his stature.
Nice. Yeah. Al?
15.6 points for someone who's destined for the Hall of Fame. If he retired tomorrow, you know what I mean? It's like, come on. I'm going Adam Thielen, projected 13.4 at Atlanta. Wide receiver 11 since week 13, Adam Thielen.
Wow. Yeah.
He's been really good, and he's been kind of a safety blanket for Bryce Young. I think he's going to be looking for a strong end to the season too, as will this Carolina team. Wouldn't be surprised if Thielen is actually traded in the new in the offseason. You know, he's got another year on his contract, but this team probably wants to bring some more kind of youth in, maybe do a bit of a roster turnover. I actually wouldn't be surprised if he got traded to my Dallas Cowboys. It seems like that, no, and I'm not advocating for that. It just seems like a trade that the Cowboys would do. So yeah, Thielen to have a nice end to the season.
Nice. So we'll run it out with tight end, and it's, you know, because it's the last one of the season, I'm making it as disgusting as ever. Kyle Pitts, it's my pick.
Oof.
6.8 points he's projected. I mean, he's been a bust again, even with expectations lowered. But he's had a nice connection with Penix. Last week, 5 targets, 4 for 44 and 1. This is a must-win game for Atlanta. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at the Panthers. As I said with, you know, my Bryce Young pick, and as you alluded to with your Thielen pick, Al, Panthers aren't going to mess around. They're not going to roll over. They're going to make this a serious game. So I think, I think the Falcons are going to have to throw everything at it. Pitts has got to do something in this game, really. Sharples?
Gone from Mike Gesicki, projected 7.9 points. Again, Bengals have an outside shot, so hopefully they're going to make a good go of it. Gesicki has been, I was going to say hit and miss, but to be fair, he's been more missed than hit this year. Last few games have been bad, and then suddenly against Denver it's 12 targets, 10 receptions, 86 yards for 18.6 points. Had a pretty good game last time out against the Steelers, who they're playing again this week, with 10.3 points. So yeah, hopefully just he gets a respectable amount of targets. If he gets a touchdown, then I'm safe, but hopefully not going to bust for me. So yeah, Gesicki.
Nice. Al, round us out.
I'm going to go Pat Freiermuth, projected 8.6 against Cincinnati. He's been really steady this season. He's not had a huge ceiling, but tight end 11 on the year, so he's had that consistency. And Cincinnati are the worst at defending fantasy tight ends, so, you know, should be a safe pair of hands in this one.
And that'll do us for projection beaters in 2024 season. Sharples, round us out with the final game tiers.
Yeah, a bit hard this week, probably quite cynical because obviously you don't know who's going to be playing, but I've only got one in the great, and as we mentioned, it's Lions Vikings.
Yeah.
Just for the, obviously, for who the two teams are and what it represents. I've got two in the good: Steelers Bengals, Buccaneers Saints. Again, both teams fighting for the playoffs, although one with a much better chance than the other. And then into the mare, we've got Ravens Browns, Chiefs Broncos, Raiders Chargers, Rams Seahawks, Commanders Cowboys, Packers Bears, and Cardinals 49ers.
Sure.
Into the bad, these are either two bad teams or it's teams where we've sort of guaranteed they're going to be resting. I've also got Falcons Panthers in there because I realised that I hate the Falcons. Titans Texans, Eagles Giants, Bills Patriots, Colts Jags, and Jets Dolphins.
Nice. Very nice. And that'll do
Could
us.
Could be Aaron Rodgers' last game ever, though, Sharps.
And based on this season, I would say good riddance.
Yeah, I think it will be. Goodbye, Aaron Rodgers.
I think he might.
Well, they're both out of there. You know, that stupid video that they did where Adams popped up and it's like, hey, we're here together. For what? They're both out of there.
Yeah.
I think he'll get another contract somewhere. It'll be disastrous, but I
Browns.
Think maybe someone like the Browns. Yeah, someone like the Browns.
I mean, yeah. The Browns could actually get Aaron Rodgers in because, like, if you think about who the previous quarterback was, it would be a nice bit of positive PR. Imagine a world where Aaron Rodgers is your less controversial quarterback.
Does it not seem something like something the Panthers would do?
Yeah.
Just bringing him and keeping Young, bringing in Rodgers, letting Young sit for a year.
Maybe, yeah. You know, someone's going to snatch his hand off, though, one of these owners, definitely.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think that'll do us, lads. That will do us. We'll be back next week just to round out the season fully and sort of talk playoffs, give you our brackets. We'll be working on our playoff brackets for next week. But until then, if you won your fantasy championship in week 17, congratulations. Congrats. If you're playing this week, what are you doing?
Stop listening to this podcast.
Stop listening.
We don't want you.
We could have had a day off.
We don't want you.
We don't want you. Enjoy the final red zone of the season. I'm not going to say the commercial free red zone anymore.
Don't get us started. And I just feel insulted that they felt like they could slip it past us, as if that's not the kind of. The tagline for the show, yeah. And it's like, you can't, Scott, you can't sneak it past us, mate.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this, Scott, I'm sure it's above Scott's head, but you know.
Will we get the adverts, or will it just be American adverts? And then...
I know, that's an interesting...
My other brother told me that they rent out like a square, if they're in like a double box or a triple box, one of the squares might be an advert, and then you'll be watching the game. I think that's how it might work.
Yeah, but exactly. But it might be irrelevant to us. It's like I'm not shocked. I'm not going to a White Castle. I'm not going to a. I'm not going to a Carl's,
Jack in the
Carl's
box.
Jr.
Jack in the Box.
I'm not going to a.
All burger establishments, boys. This is a horrible stereotype that you're perpetuating here, that Americans just eat burgers for every meal.
Yeah. But that'll do us. Thank you very much for listening. We will catch you next week when we'll be very, very close to the NFL playoffs. See ya.
See ya. Bye-bye.